Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We have breaking news in Texas. The Texans are hiring Nick Haley, Rams tight end coach and passing game coordinator, to be their offensive coordinator. Nick Haley has been with the Rams the last 2 years. He was an assistant with the New England Patriots, where he worked with Nick Caserio. He also went to the same school as Nick Caserio, John Carroll University. So the Texans have somebody from the Sean McVay tree now running their offense.
I get why people are excited about the hire. He seems to be the hot offensive coordinator name that was out there, you know, this offseason, besides Chip Kelly, of like the current guys on the market. He seemed to be the one that was catching the most interest, whether it's the Jets, the Patriots, other teams were interested in him. Sean McVay has obviously spoken very highly of him. So in theory, this is a great hire. In theory, this could be a very good decision. I am a little hesitant because I personally wanted someone to come in that had called plays before. He does not have that experience, so it does leave me a little reserved of what this can be. Also, the idea of sticking with pretty much the same offense when your offensive line couldn't handle it last year, really the last 2 years, to then say we're going to stick in the same path. I think what that to me says, Paul, is that they think it can work, and they really think Bobby Slowick was the reason to blame. That if you're going to run the same offensive scheme, like, you think the guy calling the plays was the problem, not the scheme itself, which I think is interesting.
Well, we'll see if this is the same, because, yeah, there's Shanahan-McVay ties, but I think that all the offenses that these guys are going to do that are variants of the offenses that they worked in, I'm sure he has his own ideas. But I think the big thing here is this is a guy that they interviewed already to be their offensive coordinator 2 years ago, right after they hired DeMeco Ryans, and there's familiarity there. And DeMeco clearly wanted to have his guy for the first couple of years as head coach. He worked with Bobby Slowick in San Francisco, and now they're going to go with Nick's guy. And, you know, we talk about collaboration ever since Nick Caserio had that awkward press conference at the end of the year after they had moved on from Lovie Smith, where it felt like the McNairs wanted him to just sit on the coals, essentially, and say, like, hey, I got to find someone who's really good. They brought in DeMeco, and it does seem like they have seriously gotten along ever since things started. I mean, the introductory press conference, Nick Caserio was the loosest I think I've ever seen him. I don't know what to expect out of this. I want to be excited about it. I don't know that I'm excited about it as much as I'm looking at it. This is a guy who wanted a lot of money last offseason, who's been a little bit choosy about his intentions as far as where he wants to actually be a play caller for the first time. And now he is going to be a play caller for the first time. It might be good, might be an effing disaster, but that's the uncharted water that we're in right now with Nick Haley as the Texans' new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and well, you know, it's going to be, I think the collaboration, my gut tells me, Paul, is that it's there based on the reporting we got from about the firing of Bobby Slowick, that players, front office, ownership, all kind of were consulted, at least in DeMeco Ryans' process of getting rid of Bobby. So that kind of makes me feel like, even though this clearly is a Nick Caserio connection based on where he went to school and his time with the Patriots, that, like, there was, my guess is they were all very involved in this situation. Probably even CJ Stroud to some extent.
Maybe.
If he's going to be involved in the firing, I'm going to assume he's involved in the hiring as well. And I hope this works for them, because this is one of the most important hires that, if not the most important hire they've made and will ever make as a group, because you're going to year three of CJ Stroud. You're right around the corner from him being able to get paid a massive, massive contract, where your roster is going to change dramatically when you have to pay CJ Stroud. And this is your opportune window to win a championship. And now you're banking on D'Amico Ryans, is now banking on Nick Caley to be the guy that's going to take him there.
And you really don't know if he will. I think anyone who is acting enthusiastic or excited about it needs to explain themselves. Because, okay, McVay ties. Cool. But to a degree, this is the same old Texans, no? It's the next Patriots coach.
It kind of is in that way. Where like it's, you know, Caserio brings in someone, or at least brings him to D'Amico's attention at a minimum, that has, you know, these John Carroll and Texans ties, which is interesting that like that kind of continues. But this is where you think back to, I think, our conversations with, you know, with DJ Bieniemy, was that, you know, one of his concerns that he would always point out was that D'Amico's, you know, coaching tree isn't going to be that large. It's going to be San Francisco, Chip Kelly, and anyone that was pretty much in Philadelphia at the time. Like, so the fact that if he was going to go outside of that tree, he was going to have to rely on Nick Caserio and, you know, his knowledge of the league and guys they know. And that's two very limited pools of people that you're familiar with. It's pretty much the Patriots and the 49ers. And they went Patriots this time.
Rams too, to a degree, but right.
Yeah.
I am wondering what this is going to look like, how much different it's going to be, what kind of concepts he tries to use. Again, it's going to be McVay adjacent, but the idea that it's going to be as good as McVay, you are praying for that to happen. That's sort of what you thought with Bobby Slowick. And you see Bobby Slowick and a rookie quarterback have a very good year against a largely last place schedule. And you might have thought to yourself, okay, like this guy really knows what he's doing. This could look good early on and then fade. And I really wonder what's going to be different. What's he going to look at that the Texans did last season with the offensive line issues that they had that he can realistically say, yeah, we'll do this different. And because we do this different, it's going to have actually different results. Because sure, there were some moments where Bobby Slowick, from a just scheme perspective, it seems like he was killing the Texans. But the offensive line, the talent that they have, it's too highly paid to be that bad. So is it really just the coaches? Or is it a fact of these guys just aren't as good as they're being paid?
I think it's very possible. My guess is it's a combination of both. I mean, we're going to look at this team and like whatever decisions they make this year, like I think we're both on the same page. Like Shaq Mason won't be back next year as the right guard of this team. That's the only one that I'm actually fairly confident in, that he will not be the right guard next season. Anything else feels like it's up for grabs. So you're now going to have to go in with this guy who now has to determine, Nick Caley, if he wants to bring in Cole Popovich, if he wants to bring in someone from the Patriots or the Rams to be his offensive line coach, to be his quarterback coach. The problem still largely lies in the roster. Bobby Slowick was part of the problem, and now you think you fixed that problem. Now we just have to figure out and see how the front office and team views the offensive line. Because if they really think it was all Slowick and all Chris Strauser, the former offensive line coach, then this roster will probably largely look the same. If they think it was a combination of their very expensive offensive line and their coach, then we'll see maybe some big changes. But it is going to be up to this guy now, because he has to be like the guy.
From the 832, you want to weigh in on this. Nick Caley is the new offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. I like the hire. It's still an unproven guy. On YouTube, at YouTube, Keith says, I like it. Plus, CJ has said he loves Matt Stafford, so CJ probably likes what the offense does.
That's fair. I like the hire, too. I'm not going to fall over and pretend like the day is saved and the Texans are going to be the number one, you know, offense in the NFL next year. I think there has to be a balance here within like reasonable expectations for this team, learning a hard lesson from last offseason for us.
It's impossible to predict coaches.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, especially first-timers, you hope for the best, but you really don't know what's going to happen. And I would say that whatever D'Amico Ryan's and Nick Caley's working relationship will be, all they have to go off of right now is an interview that D'Amico may or may not have been a part of. You know, I'm not 100% sure how that went. I'm sure that they talked to him, and maybe they talked to C.J. Stroud too. But you are hoping this guy can make an offense that took such a massive step back last year take another step forward. And is that step forward going to get you back to where you were in Stroud's first year? Or is that step only going to get you a little bit closer to where you used to be? And I think if you're being realistic, like, you're not going to get all the way back. It's going to take some time and perhaps some turnover talent-wise to get yourself to a point where it actually can all come together. I suppose from an offensive line perspective, it can't be any worse, just given how things looked and given how things, I guess, were being coached. But this guy's going to fix it. He has to.
Well, how do you feel about the idea of, like, how hot of an offensive coordinator candidate he was? It doesn't just feel like if he fixes it, he's gone after this year? And then we're just back here at square one next year? Which would be a good thing. Like, that'd be a great thing.
What?
For Nick Caley to not be the offensive coordinator of the Texans next year.
Because he gets a job somewhere else.
Because he gets a job somewhere else. Because if he gets a job somewhere else, it means that your offense was very good.
That's that 4D chess thing. I find it funny. I've heard people talking about this with the Patriots too. Like, oh, you got to hire someone, an offensive coordinator, before they hire Josh McDaniels, who's not going to take a job elsewhere. Okay, sure. But, like, no, hire the best guy for the job.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance that even hiring the best guy for the job is, he's canned after a year too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look at Bobby Sloak. He was getting head coaching interviews last year.
Yeah.
And then got fired this year. And it has been quiet on the Bobby Sloak rumor front to this point. So they have a lot of work to do. It seems like this is a good first step. We won't really know until probably midway through next season if they got it right. I do think we'll get a little bit of an indication, you know, in training camp, because I think back to, like, training camp last year and how bad the offense looked, and you were coming back every day, Paul, and just saying, like, the defense was just winning everything. Hopefully we see, like, an immediate fix for the offense, but it really comes down to what they do with the offensive line, how they fix it, who the offensive line coach is, and how quickly they can just get to work. Because the expectation for me with this hire is that they're going to be better than they were in C.J. Stroud's rookie year, because it's C.J. Stroud's third year. Like, this should be the best version of the Texans offense we've seen in 3 years. It didn't really matter who the coach was. That was my expectation. If they don't meet them, it'll be a disappointment.
Got to figure out the wide receiver position. Got to figure out the offensive line. Got to figure out what the hell you're running for his game. So a lot of things to take care of. But Nick Caley is the Texans' new offensive coordinator. Former passing game coordinator / tight end coach for the Los Angeles Rams. Somebody who also was a Patriots assistant for a while and worked with now Texans general manager Nick Caserio. Galan and George, he's Joe. I'm Paul. You want to weigh in on that? You can the rest of the show, or on the Luka Doncic trade, where we do have some very interesting new details that were just released. It seems like the smear job is out, because generally after a guy gets traded, a star player of his caliber gets traded, we finally figure out the reasons why. Is it possible that there's a little collusion going on between the Lakers and Mavericks, or specifically two individuals who made this trade happen? You could definitely argue that. Stay put.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Nick Caley is the new Houston Texans offensive coordinator. You want to weigh in on the hire, 713-780-3776 to call the text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. On YouTube at Texans for Life, if he can somewhat do a scheme similar to the Rams, then we have a shot at doing something special. Well, yeah.
I mean, but I think the scheme will be the same.
Well, how can it be if it's not Sean McVay?
That's all he knows. No, I guess not all he knows. He worked with the Patriots for a while. I mean, he could try to run a similar. The scheme can be the same. Doesn't mean the calling of it.
Well,
will be
the reason McVay's the best is because McVay is the best adjuster there is.
Yeah.
So this isn't. It's the scheme is one thing, but it's also when bleep it's the fan, or when you're figured out, you got to be able to turn. Texans never could do that. And on the other side of things, when you actually do something well, you have to keep doing it. And that was something Slowik actually would get in his own way a couple of times with. It felt like they would sometimes do these cute things when there was one very obvious, very easy play that was working. And, you know, the thing with the McVay offense, and the Shanahan offense does this to a degree too, but it's being able to do the same thing out of different looks over and over again and just trying to confuse the defense that's in front of you, but then running a play out of a different look that's the exact same play as the one that you had run before. Are you going to be able to figure out how to do that to the mastery with which Sean McVay does? And the answer is no. It's that's a unicorn kind of offensive mind. So, look, we'll see what happens, but I just think everyone that continues to pick from the same trees over and over again, I mean, after a certain point, there's no fruit left.
Yeah, like there's not always going to be like the next hot name is going to continue to hit. Like at some point, there's going to be misses on this tree. And, you know, they one thing that he saw this year up close and personal, like was something the Texans gone through with like wide receivers getting hurt and still finding a way to execute well. We saw Puka Nacua miss time this year. Cooper Kupp literally became a shell of himself at the end of the season. He had like five catches over the last six games. He was completely MIA from what they were doing. But you've seen this team, the Rams, do a bunch of different things with the running back position, whether it's Kyren Williams and they brought in Blake Corum, who they ended up not using this year. But they've done a bunch of different like ideas over the last 2 years, and they've had some huge hit rates also with their roster. Like that's been a huge part of this, is that while McVay is clearly a genius, he's also had major success in bringing in guys like Puka Nacua, who's a total game changer. Now you have Nico Collins, so you can probably do a lot of the things similarly that you would do with Puka, with Nika. But like the question, I agree with you, is what happens when it doesn't work? Is can you, and that we won't find out probably for a year, like, or at least for a couple games into the season, of like when you get punched in the mouth, how do you respond out of it and how do you figure out how to bail from it, and can CJ execute it? I think the answer is yes.
Right. You would think it is, but you have to see it in action. And yeah, this one doesn't excite me. I understand how that's not what it's all about. But I think for this city, which I do think when it comes to the NFL is more of a casual sports town, this is not going to bring back the people that were very excited about this team going into the year in terms of just them being excited, wanting to buy season tickets, wanting to get in. Like, sure, people will buy them. But I think going into this year, the hype was at a level that it hasn't been at in a very long time. And because people were expecting the offense to be incredible, and then it was not only like taking a step back and CJ's getting demolished and things are just not looking as easy, even though they had more weapons, I think there's a lot of wait and see. And I kind of get it with this fan base as far as the Texans are concerned, considering this is a city where people that are my age didn't have NFL football in their lives for, you know, six, seven years or so. And I think that's why one of the reasons why a lot of people that live here are more college football fans than NFL fans.
Yeah, and I think the reservations are totally fair, because I think we all kind of got hit in the mouth with the high expectations last year. And there will be people who are going to really gas up this hire as it is a great thing. And yes, he is, you know, everybody wants him. Like, I think that is in the plus column, where Bobby Slowik was not out there doing interviews left and right, you know, before D'Amico hired him. Nick Caley was. Nick Caley was aggressively pursued by teams this season, and there are teams that are disappointed today, you know, that he is not going to be their offensive coordinator. That is a good endorsement. It's a good step in the right direction, I would say. That at least you are bringing in someone that is wanted by other NFL teams. So that works for me. The hire is I'm good with it. It does not excite me. I do not love that you're just going back to the same offense. basically, or a variation of it, most likely.
Better than in-house, I think.
Yes, I do prefer this over an in-house hire. That, to me, is also a positive.
If there's three possibilities, Chip Kelly would have been the most exciting. Doesn't mean it would have worked. Would have been the most expensive, too, but it's not our money, and the Texans aren't cheapos. The least exciting would have been in-house. It would have been, no offense to Jerod Johnson or Bill Lazor, the two guys that they were considering in-house. This is in the middle of the road. Does this outside set of eyes come in and see things in a way that can get everything going the way it's supposed to go? It has to. I'm not betting on it. I hope that I'm wrong.
I would imagine that the interview process was mostly looking at film of what the Texans were doing last year and him just trying to explain to them everything that went wrong with this team. Some of that's pointing out the obvious. If I'm Nick Haley and I'm Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, like the number one thing I would have been looking for in these interviews too would have been like, what did you see that went wrong with CJ this year? The accuracy, the lack of confidence at times, the missing on deep balls that he was hitting the year before, like what do you see that went wrong with him that you can fix? Because that I think you can fix. You might not be able to fix the offensive line, but there were things that CJ did this year that weren't good. You know, why is your offense going to be more unpredictable than the offense that they've run the last 2 years that was run, incomplete pass, and punt? It felt like a majority of games. So I do like the hire. I'm just not going to love the hire. I think that's very different.
Yeah, Chip Kelly's the only hire that I think people would have loved. And that doesn't, again, not guarantee that it would have actually worked out. But that's the only one that I think is going to get people excited. At least people that, you know, are paying attention to this. Because how can you get excited about Nick Haley? How can you? And especially if you are someone who has followed this team, you got to be sick after a certain point of all the ex-Patriots that they've brought in. Like, I get the Patriots fatigue. Totally. I get it. I mean, people were pissed off that they brought in Caserio at first. And I think Caserio's done a really good job, but you had Jack Easterby, and you had Bill O'Brien, and you had some others.
Romeo Crennel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of expats.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess like Ben McDaniels is probably going to be able to keep his job here on the Houston Texans roster. Josh's little brother, the wide receiver coach. Like, that wouldn't shock me. Cole Popovich, Patriot, right? Yeah, I think Cole Popovich was a Patriot.
Off the top of my head, I do not know.
I do think it's a little bit different now. Because he did, like, he was a lower level guy, it wouldn't bother me as much. It was like he went somewhere else also first and seemed to have some success in Los Angeles and has endorsements from another staff that's not the Belichick staff. So I do think that one, that makes this a little bit different than the Patriot way of before. And until we know more, at this point, I'm going to give some faith in D'Amico that he was the reason why this hire was made.
The reason?
Well, it was his call, at least.
I don't know, man. I bet Caserio convinced him.
Well, then I don't like it.
Then you're out entirely?
I'm not.
Caserio convinced him to do it?
I'm not out entirely, but like...
I mean,
that's probably not the job of the GM. The job of the GM,
well, the GM
should be to advise.
People. The GM is supposed to hire people.
I think the coach should be. But then why did D'Amico fire Bobby?
Well, it seems like he didn't want to necessarily. I feel like there is some pressure perhaps from the top of the organization.
Yeah, that would make
ownership.
Sense. Yeah, and if they're going to be that involved, then that would make while they're... You know, I don't know. Like,
they have their ear to the ground, and I think they sense the fans were out of Bobby Slowik. Like, there was no coming back for Bobby Slowik. There just wasn't.
Which was a terrible, you know, reason to... If that was like your main reason because the fans didn't like him, if that was the reason why you moved on from him, don't love that.
Well,
totally,
I mean, but there's a certain point where, like, you know, it's not going to get any better, and everyone was out. And you go into next year with him still as the offensive coordinator, it doesn't seem serious.
No, you're right.
Like the offense struggled. It would be one thing if the offense actually had some moments and they did well, and it was, oh, they hate Bobby Slowik and they got rid of him. But there were legitimate reasons for it. And it seems like this was a decision that, of all the people involved, D'Amico actually agonized over. But everybody else, writing was on the wall for them. And, of course, there were some players that were out on him, too. So I don't know that D'Amico did this firing Bobby Slowik, like, entirely on his own. And I would imagine that Nick Caserio had a lot of input in this hiring. And that is the way it's supposed to go. It is supposed to be the general manager that's making these hires because... Yeah, you want your coordinators to get along with the head coach, but how well does D'Amico know the entirety of the NFL and the coaching pools? Like, he definitely knows some people, and he's played with some of the guys who are in there. But, you know, Caserio's been here for 20 years in the NFL and clearly has built up relationships all over the place, including with this guy. And I'm assuming that given that they interviewed him already in 2023, that he thought to himself, you know what, we've interviewed him before. I'm going to try to sell D'Amico on this.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess we'll wait and see what the more details that come out of really what the inner workings were of this. But
yeah,
I like the hire. I have my reservations on it, but it does. If it was not going to be Chip Kelly, I think this seems to be the best hire they could have made. That seems to be the biggest takeaway from this for me.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Nick Cayley's the new Texans offensive coordinator. 713-780-3776 to call to text if you want to weigh in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. That's on the table the rest of the show, and we will give some of these details that are rather dodgy about the Lakers getting Luka Doncic away from the Dallas Mavericks. Stay put.
2025 is here. We're already into February already, which is crazy. But look, if you have a slow start to your New Year's resolutions, if you've been putting off getting back into the gym, O-Athletic is a great place to do it. You can check them out at 767 North Shepherd in the Heights or O-Athletic, oathletic.com. And you can see what's going on there, O-Athletic on Instagram as well. When you go to their website, you can see the over 100 classes they offer per week, whether you want to go into a weightlifting agility training or like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu or boxing class. They have all for you. They have it all for you at O-Athletic. Check them out, oathletic.com and 760 North Shepherd in the Heights.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 281, I'm so thrilled to have a veteran play caller in Nick Kelly. Well, he's not. Sorry, bro.
I don't know why they're so adamant on bringing in a guy. Like, I don't know. Do you feel like it's a huge red flag that they wanted to bring in another guy who has no experience? Or are you okay with it?
I don't think it's a red flag as much as it's not ideal.
Yeah. Now, I prefer this over, like, Brian Johnson, per se. The Eagles, the former Eagles offensive coordinator that was rumored to be out there. Because we've seen that fail, right? So I think a lot of it for me is I wanted Chip Kelly to be the next offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans and thought that it would work. We saw it work in the NFL. Even if you look back to his year in San Francisco that was there, like you look into the offensive stats and the EPA and things like that, and they were solid. It just was a disaster organization being run by Trent Baalke at the time. But then he has the success at Ohio State, and it's like the idea that it could continue in Houston was really exciting. But now you're bringing in a guy who has no experience calling plays, and we'll see how it goes. I'm not confident that it's going to work, but I'm also not confident it's going to fail. Like, I don't be super negative about this either. There's a very good chance. I think there's as much of a chance as it works as it doesn't, in my opinion. I don't think there's really any way to believe it falls anywhere differently, and most likely, Paul, it probably falls right in the middle, where it works a little bit, it doesn't work in certain areas, and the biggest question is can you take CJ Stroud to the next level? Like, that's the question for him. He can't fix the offensive line.
That's going to be the big obstacle in the way. I think it's more about getting CJ Stroud back to where he was in 2023. I'll start there. Because that shouldn't be hard. And I get it, the offensive line had issues. But like, there were moments last year where you see CJ Stroud's clearly a special talent in this league. It should not have been a step back. No coach should have gone backwards with CJ. And this year was a masterclass in underachieving and frustrating the hell out of anybody who watched it, because I think everyone knows how much more capable they were. Luka Doncic is a Los Angeles Laker. He got traded on Saturday in one of the most shocking trades ever. Ever! And we got more details about it, courtesy of an article written by Ramona Shelbourne and Tim McMahon, released about an hour ago. So, there's a strong case to be made that this is just straight collusion between two guys who knew each other very well for a long time. Nico Harrison, the Dallas Mavericks general manager, and Rob Pelinka, the Lakers general manager, have known each other all the way back to 2003 when they were working together with Kobe Bryant. And then you get to this trade where Nico Harrison, from the get-go, decided early on the best way to trade a player of Luka Doncic's caliber was to pick the trade that he wanted rather than open up the process to avoid Doncic and his agent exerting their own leverage. It could also avoid the crippling fan backlash that might influence the deal. Well, there's that. I guess it's not influencing the deal, at least. There's crippling fan backlash, but it didn't influence the deal. Shout out to the Mavericks for pulling that off. So basically what happened is Harrison talked to Rob Pelinka and only Rob Pelinka. That's it. No one else knew, and it was entirely because they were so terrified of a possibility of a leak. They just did not want anyone else to know about it, to the point where the Jazz, who were involved in this trade, the Jazz had no idea that it was with Luka Doncic. They knew they were part of a trade. They had no idea that Luka Doncic was a piece. Oh, no clue whatsoever.
That's crazy.
Danny Ainge found out 30 minutes before the trade went through, and he's the guy who's running the Utah Jazz now.
That it was just sign off on this to make the money work.
They were so concerned about not having control over this trade. And by they, I mean Nico Harrison more than anyone, but also Rob Pelinka probably understood, oh man, I've got him by the balls here. And these two, who have known each other a long time, colluded 100%. This is man on man. And I get it, like GM on GM, like that's how things used to work. People used to get, like for baseball, general managers used to get drunk together at the winter meetings and write down deals on a cocktail napkin. This isn't quite that, but man, Nico Harrison thinks to himself, I got to get rid of Luka Doncic because I'm concerned about his conditioning and I'm only going to talk to this one guy who I trust, who clearly he can't trust because he trade raped him.
That's for me is where it's, I don't know if it's collusion or it's Rob Pelinka just, he just took advantage of this guy. Like Nico Harrison wanted to make a deal. He was going to get what he got plus another first plus Dalton Connect. But he told all of his insecurities based on this article to Rob Pelinka about Luka, about the weight, the drinking, the work ethic, the apparent issues with Jason Kidd that are there. And Rob Pelinka, being a good businessman and not a good friend, said, well, I'm just going to throw those all back into your face and use them as leverage for me. And I'm going to get rid of Anthony Davis, who we're not going to bring back anyways. And I'm going to remove Dalton Connect, and I'm going to remove draft capital. And he pretty much just fooled his buddy. Like, there's no other way to put it. Because if you really had this many concerns about a basketball player being that out of shape, his work ethic, what he was going to bring to your team, why would you trade for him? Instead, Nico probably felt like he was getting one over on his buddy, but now all the basketball world realizes it was the other way.
And how can he think that? How can he think that? Just look at all, like, Rudy Gobert got 4 first-round picks. Rudy effing Gobert. Look at 34-year-old Kevin Durant got all those draft picks that he got. And he thought he got the better of this deal. Like, his guy, and I don't know if Pelinka knew all these details behind the scenes and brought them up, or if, as you said, Nico just volunteered this, but clearly they were aware. And this article details further what we had seen put out there, how Tim McMahon had said they were concerned about his conditioning. Someone else, I think, put out that he was at 270 pounds since he's been dealing with the calf injury, even though he came into the year 245, 255. The Mavericks' frustrations with Doncic's habits on and off the court were well-known in league circles. Head coach Jason Kidd frequently expressed concerns publicly and directly with Doncic about his conditioning, weight fluctuations, and constant arguing with officials. Doncic had mostly taken the criticism without complaint, but it never resulted in a significant change in his habits. One team source vented to ESPN last year. I mean, who gains weight during the season when you're playing 40 minutes a game?
That's a fair point.
That is a fair point. I guess one of the things that the Mavericks thought that would get Doncic to buy in was to make changes around him. They fired, in 2023, the director of health and player performance, Casey Smith, who now works with the Knicks and Jalen Brunson. After last season, they fired their strength coach and manual therapist. All three had been with the team since before Doncic was drafted. They had strong relationships with him. Doncic in recent months said, they get rid of everybody I like.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to lead to people being upset if you should trade.
And him hiring his own body team, which I would imagine would further create a divide between the Mavericks and him.
Yeah, because if they're saying that, you know, like this article says, that they want him between, like his ideal weight is apparently 245 pounds is what they want Luka, but he's coming in a little bit heavier than that also, and there's no way he weighs 270. We all saw the video of him coming off that plane in L.A. There's no way that guy is 270 pounds. There's no way. Also, magically, he might come back before the All-Star break with his calf injury now, which is typically how injuries play out in the NBA. They heal much quicker when you get traded.
Well, yeah, that makes me wonder if that sped up the process, if they felt like he was taking too long to get back from this injury or something like that, and that was the final straw. Instead of doing this maybe in the offseason or next year, they're like, okay, well, is he telling us that he's unhappy?
Nico Harrison said something in his press conference yesterday when he went with the media. He said that Luka hadn't verbally told him that he didn't want to be here in Dallas or he was not going to sign a Supermax. I really think as we read more and we learn more about this, it feels like they're just making this assumption that Luka didn't want to be there anymore. That because of the people they fired, because of the weight, because of everything that they know behind the scenes, that they just thought that logically he was going to leave. And he didn't verbally request one, but they just seemed to have jumped to a conclusion that may have been right. But the problem is that, well, he didn't demand a trade. So we're always just going to assume Dallas was in the wrong here. Even if they were right in the end, and he would have eventually opted out of his contract, like they traded him early.
They could have offered him the Supermax next year. Now he's ineligible for it. I'd imagine he'd rather have the Supermax in Texas. Could be wrong. Maybe he wants to go to L.A. and be the star of all stars. I do think that it does lend itself to the possibility that L.A. could perhaps be not the best thing for him. I don't know.
He's going to lose a lot of money. I mean, he's lost the Supermax, which is about $100 million he's going to lose. And then now he's going to have the state taxes and all everything else that comes with that as well. Like, he is going to lose a ton of money in this.
And if the guy likes to party, I mean, LA's fun.
I don't know if it's like he's the party or just he likes to drink beer. Well, that's what's not clear.
Don't the two go hand in hand?
Well, maybe he just like has like three or four beers at dinner every night.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I don't buy it either.
But wait, was he going to, like, the way you're making it sound like he's going to go to the store and like pick up a 30 rack of like Keystone Light.
No,
and go home and pop it open.
Yeah, he's just like having a burger with like four beers. He likes to drink beer.
The video of Nico, God, I keep on thinking.
Oh, Harrison.
Harrison, yeah. Every single time I say Nico, I'm like, Nico Collins. Nope. Nico Harrison taking the beer out of Luka Doncic's hands after they had just won the Western Conference Finals. I mean, clearly there was an issue.
Yeah.
But it was still working for him. I mean, there were moments, game three against the Celtics in the finals last year, he acted like an absolute baby. And he fouled out, and he threw the temper tantrum and all that stuff. And this might have been where it all went down. Because remember, after the game, and BMAC, he's psychic, he's about to play it. This is after the game, Luka Doncic complaining about the referees in a game where he like threw a temper tantrum.
Luka, what did you think of the whistles that went against you in the fourth quarter?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. We couldn't play physical, so I don't know. I don't want to say nothing, but, you know, six foul in the NBA Finals, where basically I'm like this. Come on, man. Better than that.
Yeah, I remember there was the Windhorst on Scott Van Pelt when
yeah,
he just torched him for not playing defense and not trying on defense. But that's what I think is so strange about all this, Paul. They're not talking about his defense at all. They're talking about his weight, his effort.
I think there was some concern about the lack of effort on the defensive end, but you're right. Like,
it feels like that should be the focus. But if you're trying to sell it.
But if you pointed at this, it makes it seem like he's a lazy person. And I mean, this is how this stuff goes down. If you make a trade like this, you have to slander the guy on the way out. You have to, because you look like an idiot. You're going to look like an idiot no matter what. And, you know, the team that I used to root for as a kid, the Boston Red Sox, they did this too much. And eventually I, as someone who was old enough to understand, oh, they're just smearing these people for the sake of smearing them. They did it with Nomar Garciaparra, mm-hmm. Pedro Martinez, Terry Francona, many others. And I was like, okay, enough is enough. When you're doing this to all of your franchise's heroes, like, clearly there's someone who's the commonality here. I mean, my God, the Red Sox used to write slander pieces about the effing Patriots because they owned the Boston Globe. Whatever. No one cares about the Boston sports side of things. All I'm trying to say is when a guy is on the way out, they're going to smear him. Mm-hmm. They're going to slander him. But it comes down to this. You had an icon. You had a top three player. You will not have that. You will not have that. You will not be better suited to winning. You will not be relevant, to be perfectly honest.
And you'll never get one close to it. I mean, you think about the, like, what they've, like,
there you stumbled into him. I mean, yeah. He should have gone first overall.
He should have. The Atlanta Hawks should also then never made that trade in which they gave you Luka. I mean, that never should have happened. But now you've got a team where, like, it's almost like how it was with, like, going from, like, Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers in a way, where, like, you went from Dirk to Luka, and they crossed over. Like, the idea that you're going to find at some point in your franchise's history a third player of that caliber is so unlikely. Like, think about the Rockets. They tried with Yao. They tried with T-Mac. But they had to really go from Dream to James Harden to really find, like, that, like, superstar level player. Like, the idea the Mavs are, yes, you have Anthony Davis, but, like, how long is he going to play for you? 6 years? Mm-hmm. 5 years at most? If he holds up? And then now you're going to be back to where, you know, by the time the 20 and 29 first round pick comes up, Anthony Davis might not even be a Maverick. Like, so I just don't understand this trade. It's, they can talk themselves into it all they want. They can say this is a basketball move. They can say this is a win now move. They can say they didn't believe in Luka Doncic's work ethic. What I think happened here is a moron running a team who is a former shoe executive who can't even do that correctly, apparently, who shouldn't be doing it.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. BMAC in for Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call into Texans. Texans hired Nick Haley as their offensive coordinator and the Luka Doncic trade. Can you make any sense of it? Worst trade ever? First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. And as soon as you do that, you're going to get an awesome deposit bonus. Maybe you want to bet on the big game coming up this weekend. All sorts of prop bets are available at MyBookie.ag for that game. Yeah, you can bet on the actual Chiefs and Eagles. Chiefs are 1-point favorites, but you can also bet on the color of the Gatorade, how long that national anthem is going to be. You also can bet on championship odds. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, ooh, the Los Angeles Lakers, they just got Luka Doncic. I'm going to put money on them. Plus 1,500 now. Six best odds to win the title. Where are the Houston Rockets at? Oh, still at plus 4,200? Behind the Mavericks? Wait, what? If you want to bet on the Rockets, you want to get crazy, folks. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 is how you get that awesome deposit bonus. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.